Comic book does whatever a book does. Read by us while drinking, incoherent rambling. Look out, this is our podcast.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the SJW Comic Book Club, a weekly book club style podcast with three goals. One, to talk about comics with the weight and the gravitas that they deserve. Two, to explore comics from a literary and progressive point of view. And three, to learn a little bit about comics with our friends. I'm host number one, Monte.
I'm host number two, Veronica.
And I'm host number three, Melissa.
And this week, we're going to take a little bit of a break from our normal book club episodes, and we're doing something a little different today. Veronica, what are we doing?
So for this feature mini episode, we took a look at the DC Universe television show, Doom Patrol, which of course we, seasoned Doom Patrol fans, having read a single arc in our previous stream, Doom Patrol Crawling from the Wreckage, I believe it was called, can bring our expertise to this viewing. So Doom Patrol is an American superhero television series developed by Jeremy Carver, based on the DC Comics superhero team of the same name, featuring the characters of Crazy Jane, played by Diane Guerrero, Rita Farr, played by April Bowlby, Vic Stone or Cyborg, played by, is it Javon? How do you say this person's name?
I think it's Jovian, but you said Cyborg.
Did I say Cyborg?
Yeah, Cyborg.
I'm Cyborg.
like a Canadian mom.
Vic Stone, a.k.a. Cyborg, played by Javon Wade. Larry Trainer, played by Matt Bomer, and in the series, Matthew Zook, apparently. Cliff Steele, a.k.a. Robot Man, played by Brendan Fraser, and also Riley Shanahan. And the Chief, played by Timothy Dalton, as the members of the eponymous Doom Patrol. And although some of those actors are reprising their roles from the series Titans, apparently the two shows are set in separate continuities. And the show premiered on February 15th, 2019, and has been renewed for a fourth season at this point. So the show follows all those characters who have all received their powers from tragic circumstances and are generally shunned by society. Most members of the team were treated by the Chief, who gives them residence in his mansion to help protect them from the outside world. And this isn't in the first episode, but the blurb. In the first season, the Chief is captured by the malevolent Mr. Nobody, sending the Doom Patrol on a journey to rescue him. And along the way, they discover secrets about themselves and the Chief that lead to the drama of the show. So, knowing all that, and with us three having watched the first episode, what were you guys' general impressions of the show? Plot-wise, story-wise, character-wise, acting, production?
I gotta say, I love Brendan Fraser
as the Robot Man so much. As everything,
his entire character disgusts me.
Yes,
and he just pulls it off so well.
He does such a good job.
So gross.
I'm so disgusted.
Brendan Fraser, his acting talent knows no bounds.
It knows no bounds. And I missed him so much.
Yeah, I was really, I didn't actually know that it was him. So Melissa and I watched it together, and I didn't actually know that it was him, that Brendan Fraser played that character. And I think at first we were very surprised, like we didn't realize it was Brendan Fraser for a while even watching it, because he was doing horrible things. And it's like, Brendan Fraser wouldn't do that.
Brendan Fraser would never cheat on his wife.
Yeah, that can't be him.
I don't know him personally, but that just feels kind of off, you know?
That's funny to me, because my whole impetus for wanting to watch the show, because notoriously me not wanting to watch TV shows, was because I learned that Brendan Fraser played Robot Man. And I was like, must watch.
Yeah. Fun fact, I watched the Doom Patrol first episode both with Monte and then again with Veronica. Yes. So I've seen that episode twice. So I'm actually more of an expert. Double expert, one could say.
It's true.
But yeah, I remember having a conversation with Monte saying, is that Brendan Fraser?
That
Brendan Fraser.
That's his butt. What's going on here? It was a very good pilot, though.
Very strong pilot.
Yeah, aside from Brendan Fraser doing a great job, like, the whole cast does a really, really great job of portraying these people that are deeply flawed, but also extremely charismatic. Like, every one of the Doom Patrol members, maybe not so much the chief, he kind of, you know, falls by the wayside a little bit, in the pilot at least, but every single member of the Doom Patrol, all of them, they were extremely charismatic and, like, fun to watch, especially Jane.
I've also, I think when the first season was airing, I would see clips online of Diane Guerrero, like, she would just, like, get into character on, like, TikTok or Instagram or something and do, like, fun little videos. And I was like, wow, Jesus.
Yeah, and it's crazy. She didn't even have to stay in character throughout the entire production. It's crazy. You actually can be a good actor and be good at your job without inconveniencing everyone around you.
Now, Monte, anyways. I don't know what you could be referencing by bringing that up.
I don't either.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa. Monte,
that is a heavy accusation. To just basically flat out say all method actors, people like shit, are maybe doing it for no reason. Wow.
Yeah.
Just wanted to reiterate it.
Yeah, the way she like jumps in and out of character is really great. And the effect that they put on it on the show of like the little, it was like a little shimmer kind of.
Yeah, like the air moved around her, but very subtly.
It was very cool.
I also have to say that the actress who plays Rita Farr does actual knitting. It has realistic knitting.
Oh, uh-huh. That's always an important point for Melissa.
And I was just so impressed. Now, what I didn't understand is how she's been knitting for like 40 years, 50 years, and it doesn't wear anything knitted. Like, where is the knitting going? Is it?
It's not even like she knows 80 people who are having babies that she can give baby blankets to. Where does it go?
I mean, like, after 80 years, will I still be knitting just a single square of yellow yarn? Maybe, but like, where's it going, Rita?
It should be draped over the house like a giant tea cozy.
There should be tea cozies. Everything's been yarn bombed. But yeah, it was a very compelling, but also like a quiet episode. Like, a lot of things happen with Brendan Fraser, but there's like a very long time period in which, like a montage in which time passes, like maybe 20 years or something. So it's very quiet for like the middle part. And then they go into town. And that's just when you know things are gonna, I'm like very,
kick off.
They're gonna kick off. And I'm a little bit confused as Alan Turduck's evil character, Mr. Nobody. Straight up don't know anything about him from this first episode, but he is a compelling villain.
Well, you know, Alan Person, who was apparently last name I've been saying wrong for 8 years, is also a very charismatic actor. Like, he kind of... So the episode starts off with a little intro for his character, and then he narrates the rest of the episode, which includes, like, everyone's backstory, and then, as Melissa said, a time skip. And then a long time where they're just kind of sitting around the house, which is kind of contributes to the quietness of the episode, but is still oddly interesting to watch. And then ends with them going into town and they kick off with a fight.
A fight that, frankly, the second time I watched, I was like, this isn't a problem. this isn't a real problem. Like, everyone's acting like it's a real problem. The problem is that they went into town. That's the problem.
They created a problem. And now here they are to do something about it.
Yeah. But it's okay because it's all contained within the first episode and we get to see everyone's powers. We didn't really get to see what the powers were going to look like until the very end, where they basically all just disintegrate and explode themselves.
Yes.
And none of them can handle being in town for 10 minutes.
Yes.
Great.
So to get into like strong and weak points about the series, I thought that the episode was pretty strong up until the end, and then I was kind of like, because we ended just with this fight, And we have Mr. Nobody, but we don't really know what the overarching problem is going to be for the series. And I was kind of like, this fight doesn't really show me the importance of what they're going to be doing as superheroes, because as Melissa said, this is just a problem they made for themselves. And it's very small and contained, like, spatially. They're just in this, like, little podunk town. But at the same time, I think, because the Doom Patrol is all supposed to be, they're just like a band of misfits. And for most of the show, you, like you said, you don't even know what their powers could necessarily do super heroically. Just like, they just seem like freaks who can't do anything helpful. And then you do end up kind of like seeing them put it to use. And it's not like a big epic moment. It kind of is like patched together to do things, like especially like Rita, who just turns into a big gloop person and then rolls through the town. You're like, what's the application of that?
A sad gloop person.
Yeah.
That scene. Okay. That whole scene where she turns into a gloop monster. That's what's terrorizing everybody. Just Rita. And she's glooping her way down the street and everyone's freaking out. And there's like a random school bus that randomly crashes for no reason. And then no one can get out of the bus out of the normal door, even though there's a door in the back.
Yeah, the point of school buses, they have emergency exits on the back.
Emergency exits.
All over. The windows.
The windows. Everywhere. The ceiling has an emergency exit on school buses.
It's like the easiest thing to get out of. That you could find.
It's like the campiest, most absurd problem. I just love Doom Patrol. I love that they kept in the silliness and the absurdity and just like the straight-facedness of it all.
Yeah.
Like, yes. They're all like, oh my God, this is a huge problem, you guys. And I'm like, this isn't a problem.
That was best part about it was that they played it straight. Like,
yeah.
That the kids looked terrified. Like, everyone was so scared. And and the whole time I'm thinking, wait, like, she's just going to bump it. Like, what's going to happen? She's just going to bump it.
She's not going to kill the children, right? Like, Rita knows not to kill children, right? Like, right?
I don't know. Well, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe she's like a. She turns into like a blob situation where she assimilates things into her.
Maybe.
But it
didn't seem
like that was happening.
We didn't see her assimilate anything yet.
Yes.
Yeah, she's just chilling on the pavement.
Yeah, just let her roll around. Like, who cares, man?
And she's one of the characters that did not appear in the comic arc that we read before. So we're not 100% sure on the extent of her power.
Yes, that's true. I have no idea what her powers are other than being sad.
Being
but
sad
it
did blob.
Definitely seem like she was just gonna bump it.
Yeah.
That was it.
Robot Man's solution was like to pick up a piece of the street to like squish her back.
So much property damage. Just to stop her from bumping it.
Yes.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Like, if that piece of asphalt was going to stop her, I feel like the front of the bus would have stopped her also. Yes. Unless she could, like, electrocute the bus or something. I don't know. But it's a bus. It's
lined with rubber on the inside.
But at the same time, you felt good for the characters. Like, they felt like Robot Man felt useful. He was like, I'm doing something.
Yeah.
I did it.
Yeah. We get to see baby steps.
Yes.
That's why I do agree that the ending fight I can definitely see how it would be anticlimactic and like a little bit of a letdown. But I actually kind of liked that you don't really see them as superheroes, even after that whole like climax and the action and stuff, just because I really like that idea of broken people like getting together and finding a home. And usually, because there are a lot of superhero teams that are like that, but then usually they also have to be superheroes. And I liked that this pilot didn't like shoot them into that role right away. I'm sure they will get to it eventually, and that's fine. But I like that it didn't start out that way.
I hope they stay useless for a very long
time. For as long as possible.
Without it hindering the plot. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the time that can lead to really creative problem solving in episodes. Like, if you have a team of superheroes who are all powerful gods, like, you just be like, oh, they eye blasted everything into dust and then got the bad guy or whatever. this collection of powers because all I've been living for the last month is D&D. Makes me think of a D&D party. It's like, okay, we have a few powers, we have some abilities. How can we cobble them together into a solution for whatever crazy problem we've come up against?
Very fun.
Tone-wise, as you were talking about, and this was similar for the Doom Patrol comics, so I think probably they aced this. It's both campy and fun and kind of gloomy and terrible at the same time, which obviously there's a lot of discourse about how like gloomy and dire some superhero movies are getting. DC superhero movies. But the level of camp in this, and the day that Melissa and I watched this, actually, we had to waste some more time. So we also watched the first episode of Peacemaker, which is very different in tone, but I'll say at the same time, dire and terrible and dark, like gallows humor, but also incredibly campy.
Wasn't there a butt in that one too?
Oh yeah, it was very similar in tone with the like shooting sex scenes showing butts, stuff like that.
I think the DC shows do a very good job of that, of being like, they're kind of billed as being these dark, gritty kind of shows or gloomy. Like Doom Patrol is gloomy. Peacemaker I haven't seen, but I completely believe you based on the clips and stuff that I have seen of it, that it's very like gritty and kind of ultra violent, while at the same time being very funny. And Titans, which is a show that I really like, strikes a very similar tone where it's like very gloomy, very dark, very over the top, but it's also very funny at times. And I think that the DC shows do that so much better than the movies, because the DC shows don't take themselves that seriously, whereas Zack Snyder, his head is so far up his own ass, like you could not tell him that this is something that doesn't have to be. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Zack Snyder is not a good director. He's not good, and he doesn't understand that, like, you can't have these fun. Yeah, you can't, if you have these like larger than life characters, that Superman played straight is dumb. Right? You have to have something in there to acknowledge that this is over the top and a little bit silly. Like, you have to do that. Otherwise, it just is stupid. And
you have to have Lex Luthor wiping off one of his eyebrows.
Yes.
To bring the tone up.
Yes.
Like, you have to acknowledge that silliness. Snakes. And I think Doom Patrol, of the DC shows that I've seen so far, seems to do it the best. But they all do it really well. The shows.
Yeah.
Not the movies.
Yes. So I'm intrigued to see some more shows. Hence, I watched the first episode of Peacemaker. So who was your favorite character?
It's pretty easy. It's Rita Fair, played by April Valby, because she learned how to knit. At some point in her life, either for this role or not, and I'm pretty excited about it. So you can hear it in my voice.
Yep. The deep satisfaction of Melissa when she sees accurate knitting in a piece of media.
She can accurately knit, and then when a situation gets mildly stressful, she turns into a giant blob and cries and wants to go home. Same energy.
Mood. So relatable.
I'm 100%, I'm so relatable. I'm so there.
She is Melissa.
The only difference is that I don't live in a rich mansion, and also I wasn't on TV or movies or something. That's it. It's the only difference.
Good, good. Monte?
I don't know. I think that the one that we spend the most time with is Cliff Steele, and the one that we spend the least time with is Jane, who I think is the only one where we don't know her background story yet after the pilot. All the rest of them, their background gets introduced. And I really gravitated towards Jane. I think just because of the charisma of the actress, she did just a really, really good job of embodying several characters. And we've talked about on the podcast how I don't usually like depictions of dissociative identity disorder or multiple personality disorder or whatever you want to call it on TV and in comics. And I don't think that this is a better representation of it or anything like that. But it is very fun to the point where, like, it doesn't, you, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, because I know that people like suffer with that, et cetera, but like, it's very fun.
It's a trope, which when done well, can be very fun to watch.
Yeah, it works very well in the show. I think more so than it did in the comic that we read, at least. So I would probably be, I would probably say Jane, if not Cliff, was the one that I gravitated towards the most.
Excuse me, she wants to be called Crazy Jane. Just kidding.
That is her preferred eponym, please.
Crazy Jane, if you're nasty.
Okay. Yes. For me, yeah, members of the Doom Patrol, probably Cliff Steele, Robot Man. Because Brendan Fraser, also, I really liked the character in the comic. I feel like taking an idea with such, like, pathos, and then it's like, but he's a piece of shit. It's fine. that's so interesting. Like, that's such a reach to write for, to have this unlikable character. And then you like him, and he does have such an interesting emotional state. But the person I enjoyed the most, despite kind of not being in it as much, Melissa, could you please say his name correctly for me? Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk.
Yes, there you go. I feel like he was born to play this role of a bad CGI interdimensional man.
Interdimensional Nazi.
Yes. I don't know if you guys have seen the show Resident Alien, which I just learned is a comic, apparently. But he plays like an invading alien who has taken over, I think, somebody's body, or he's like morphed to look like him, and he's like your typical like little gray alien who wants to like probe people, and he's just trying to act like a human. Flawless, perfect for him. Same as this role. I love it. He's great at creepy. I adore it. I want to see more of him in this show. And the narration, flawless. Love it.
And just so that he doesn't get left behind, Matt Bomer does a great job as Larry Traynor, the little gay man who explodes if he gets too stressed out.
Yes.
Which I did actually very much relate to that. I also like become incorporeal and flash into the walls. If
they're all such messes, it's so relatable. And you know, not to like, he's the straight man of the group, so like invaluable. Just at this point, doesn't stand out as much. He did a great job though, and his character is great.
Yes, and by straight man, you mean he's the serious one.
Yes.
Not, he is gay.
The stage term, straight man.
Yes.
Yes. All right, so, in conclusion, if you had time to add another TV show to your Rota, or if someone asked you, hey, what'd you think of Doom Patrol, would you recommend picking up this series based on the pilot?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. The episodes are a little long. They're like an hour long. So it feels like a movie, but the craft was well done. And if you like absurdity, then it looks like it's going to do the justice for the comics, at least from the first episode, from our expert level knowledge of Doom Patrol.
I do know.
We're such experts.
In season 3, the villains are the Brotherhood of Evil, I think they're called, and it is Monsieur Mala, who is a super genius gorilla, and Brain, which is a like floating brain. It's what it sounds like. It's a floating brain.
I mean, a lot of the names for these characters are kind of on the nose.
Robot Man. Crazy Jane. Does Larry Traynor even have a name? Oh, he's like Negative Man or something, isn't he? They never call him. He's Larry.
Yeah, they never call him anything. Like, he never gets a little code name, at least not in this episode, but I think in the comics he's Negative Man or something like that.
Yes. And Melissa, where did we watch this show? Was it HBO streaming?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So could be available other platforms. We at least watched it there.
I think it's only on HBO.
Yeah. At some point, it was duly premiering on two streaming services I saw on Wikipedia, but at least you can watch it on HBO. So.
Also, Veronica, I'm now unclear on how Alan Tudyk's, I thought that's how it was pronounced, but I looked it up. It's Tudyk.
Oh, no.
Tudyk.
So it's a combination of what, because I always used to say Alan Tudyk, and you said Tudyk. So whoever knows can criticize us for our poor pronunciation. Retroactively.
Or just cut all of it out.
All mention of his name. No, we'll just live with that. All right, so universally recommended to our listeners. I know we're a bit behind the curve going into season 4, but live with it. But that's it. We hope you enjoyed this feature. Next week, we will be back to our book club reading Ghost Rider from the 1973 run, although this comic is from 1982. Issue 68, The Curse of Jonathan Blaze, written by Roger Stern. And that is just a single issue comic. And I was not able to find the single issue for sale, but I will link to a collection that includes this issue in the description of this episode. But that's it for this week. If you enjoyed our show, please hit subscribe. And if you're on an app with ratings, please give us a high rating so we can find new listeners. If you want to keep up with us on social media, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at SJWComicsCast or email us directly at SJWComicsPodcast@gmail.com. We also have guested on various podcasts and have had various guests on our podcasts. I link to all of those episodes also in the description of this episode. But this was our podcast. We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.